In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Mark concludes his gospel with these words. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. He mentions two separate distinct events, our Lord's ascension and his sitting at the right hand of God. The first leads to the second. In fact, the whole purpose and goal of the ascension is that Christ might sit at the right hand of God. The ascension is the visible elevation of the person Jesus Christ. His person moved from the ground through the air and was hidden by a cloud. His body had gone to a place where it had never yet been. And in that way, his ascension is little different from the ascension of Elijah. But the reason, of course, is much different. Recall how Christ had been conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, and there in that womb, his human nature was created, inseparably with the second person of the Trinity. He lived on earth. He suffered, he died, he was buried, as we confess in our creeds. Never had the human nature of Christ entered heaven. Then he rose on the third day, and now he ascends into heaven because he had accomplished all that God had sent him to do. Nothing more needed to be done. He had conquered every enemy of man, sin, death, hell, the devil. They all rest underneath his feet, along with every aspect of the curse. Sickness, frailty, old age. He is the King of heaven and earth, who ascends into heaven so that he might be with his people forever. There, heaven is not somewhere up there, beyond the distant galaxies and clouds. Heaven is the place where the saints rest and live with God in perpetual joy and gladness. There they see him face to face. Christ ascends into heaven so they might enjoy his presence forevermore, see his hands and his feet and his side. This is the mark of his victory. They find comfort and joy in that visible presence of Christ. Notice that heaven still is a physical place, for our Lord's body has ascended there. It just now occupies, his body is just now different than it was before. No longer does he need food and drink. No longer is he confined to the aspect of life on earth. He has a glorified body. His ascension guarantees our ascension into heaven. The apostle writes this, "We who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord, not on the ground. We meet the Lord in the air. As we ascend from earth into heaven, as Christ went up, so shall we with all the blessed dead ascend into heaven, go up into heaven, not with a body confined to the earthly needs, but with a glorified body, no longer needing food and drink, rest and work, but made like Christ in every way. Since this is ours, let us be steadfast and not do anything that would deprive us of this blessed end. Flee sin, pursue godliness, shun evil, and delight in the goodness of the Lord, for he alone is our hope of salvation." And that is why he ascends, so that he might now sit at the right hand of God and be the source of salvation for all men. Jesus has not left us here on earth to figure out salvation on our own, as if he is watching who will persevere and who will fail. St. Luke says that a cloud took him from their sight. St. Paul describes the right hand of God by saying he ascended above all heavens, filling all things. So the right hand of God is both a cloud and filling all things. It is not a distinct specific location, but it's that position of greatest power and authority that Christ always had by virtue of his divine nature, but now has received according to his humanity as well. Our human brother rules over all things and has control over all things. Nothing escapes his power or his gaze. Because of that personal union, because of what he accomplished on earth, our Lord sits at the right hand of God. Maybe to speak a bit more simply, Jesus exercises the fullness of his divinity through his humanity, never apart from that humanity. Everything he does through his humanity. No longer is he in a state of humiliation. No longer does he limit himself. No longer does he withhold any divine majesty or prerogatives from himself. He makes full use of it all. He looks like God. And he still is a man. We saw that in part after his resurrection, he left the tomb without moving the rock, simply passing through it. He entered that upper room not once but twice on Easter evening and 8 days later, and Thomas could touch him. The Emmaus disciples could eat with him. Mary Magdalene at the tomb could grasp his feet, still physical, still tangible, still a body, but a glorified body, exalted from what he was before. Now he is exalted even more. Now he looks like God and he acts like God, yet still is a man. So the right hand of God, that position of great power and authority, is the goal of Christmas. He had come in humility to redeem us. So he had to take on the form of a servant so he might die in our place to set us free. But the goal was always that God might dwell among us and freely walk among us, even as he did with Adam, that he might rule over all things with that human nature, so that man might fulfill God's created order. So now he lays aside, not his humanity, but he lays aside his humility. The incarnation is now seen in its most fully. Who he is has not changed. He remains the eternal Son of God, but the way he exercises that divinity has changed. He makes full use of his divine majesty and prerogatives. He's not somewhere up in heaven, sitting idle, waiting for the world to end. But that cloud that covered him shows exactly what he is doing. Think back to the Old Testament, how often a cloud appeared. God revealed himself in those clouds to lead Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea and into the wilderness, ultimately the Promised Land. The cloud covered Mount Sinai, and from there God spoke his word to Israel. The cloud rested on the tabernacle. The cloud, the glory of the Lord, appeared to Israel, and God, through that cloud, spoke to them that he would send manna from heaven. So the cloud both reveals the presence of God and hides the presence of God. The cloud is the Holy Spirit who wrote the sacred scriptures. These writings both reveal Jesus' presence and hide his presence. So the right hand of God hides in the preaching of the scriptures. There in those scriptures, the exalted Jesus is exercising his full majesty through his humanity, so that he might lead us to that promised land of heaven. Through his word, he is leading us through the waters of holy baptism in this wilderness so that we might persevere to the promised land. Through those scriptures, he promises us manna from heaven to sustain our bodies and soul unto life everlasting. The word is how God rules among us today. The great power, majesty, and glory of God hides in plain sight in the word, both revealing and concealing the divine Son of Mary. So what did the apostles do after Jesus sat down at the right hand of God? They went out and preached the word everywhere. And no sickness, no disease, no devil, no worldly power could stop them. St. Mark simply summarized the entire book of Acts with one line. In fact, he simply summarized the entire New Testament church with that one line. For Christ was working with them and through them to extend his kingdom to the very ends of the earth. So the consequence of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God is the preaching of the gospel and the growth of the church. And now you see why St. Paul describes the right hand of God as ascending above all the heavens to fill all things. For the preaching of the gospel has gone throughout all the earth, in fact, to all creation. And so the psalmist rightly sings, "Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and the hills sing for joy together. For the Lord forgives his people. Whether they dwell in Jerusalem or in Mission Viejo, God forgives his people and is leading them by his scriptures to a promised land." Jesus has not left anyone behind. He has not left salvation up to you or in your hands. It still rests in his hand. And now he exercises more power and authority than ever walking on this earth. For he is the victor and the conqueror who lives to crush all your enemies underneath your feet. He knows what you go through. And he knows how best to care for you. So he continues to preach his word. He continues to baptize those who are in need. He continues to feed you manna from heaven. He controls heaven and earth along with every event in your life, all to lead you back to his word. That word, that cloud, allows you to sing with joy and gladness. What God ordains is always good. If it's in your life, it must be for your good, for nothing catches Christ by surprise. And so nothing catches you by surprise. Trust in him. Believe his gracious rule is for you. He is crushing every enemy underneath your feet right now as we speak, even though it may not look like it. Nothing can harm you. Not disease, not pain, not suffering, not old age, frailty, not even the devil or death can rob you from the victory that is yours in Christ Jesus, your Lord. For he has ascended on high to rule all things for your good, and he preaches his word to make that a reality. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.